In this episode of Movie Wallahs, we review a couple of recent action flicks, Total Recall and The Bourne Legacy. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, it's Belle.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. So yeah, this is our second recording in a row. We're doing some catch-up. I think we were all distracted by the Olympics. We had a mail from one of our Movie Wallahs listeners complaining that we hadn't put any shows out for a while. So we're definitely doing a catch-up. Glad the Olympics are over. Did anyone non-English understand the closing ceremonies? Did you see that, Yazdi?
I did. I saw most of it. I enjoyed it for the crazy, loopy, you know, organized chaos it was. It was fun. I didn't get every minute of it, but it was enjoyable.
Yeah, I loved it.
It was like an English rock concert.
Yeah. Good to see some old classics.
It's an English contribution to pop culture. I was really annoyed with NBC, by the way, because we didn't get to see The Who, because they stuck in the middle of it a pilot for an animal hospital show or something like that. That really annoyed the heck out of me, because we then decided to go to bed. It was Sunday night. I mean, you know, maybe I'm getting old, but I didn't want to stay up until 12:30 to watch The Who play a couple of songs. So NBC really sucked, as far as I'm concerned, with this Olympic, but we've already ranted about that. So anyway, two movies that I'm really excited to talk about today. Should we do Total Recall first?
Sure.
Who is giving us the background?
I am.
Go ahead.
Welcome to Recall, the company that can turn your dreams into real memories. So for a factory worker named Douglas Quaid, even though he's got a beautiful wife who he loves, the mind trip sounds like a perfect vacation from his frustrating life. Real memories of life as a super spy might just be what he needs. But when the procedure goes horribly wrong, Quaid becomes a hunted man, finding himself on the run from the police. Controlled by Chancellor Cohagen, the leader of the free world, Quaid teams up with a rebel fighter to find the head of the underground resistance and stop Cohagen. So this is directed by Len Wiseman and based on the short story by Philip K. Dick, Joe, which you often talked about, We Can Remember For You Wholesale, and it stars Colin Farrell, Kate Beckinsale, Jessica Biel, Bryan Cranston, and the wonderful Bill Nighy. So, Yazdi, did you see the original?
I did, yes.
So,
and were you a fan of the original? Because for me, it was a religious experience back in the day.
Big fan. I haven't seen it again, and I don't know how well it holds up, but I remember seeing it soon after it came out, and it was surreal. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah, Rashmi and I've got the DVD, so Rashmi and I made a point of rewatching it within a couple of weeks of watching the remake, and it has aged. It really does feel like a movie of its time, but the script brilliance, you know, all of the Arnie jokes and the classic one-liners from that movie, they stood the test of time. It was still a very fun movie.
Yeah. So go, Yazdi, tell us what you thought of the remake, yeah.
Yeah, so even I'm exhausted of complaining about Hollywood's incessant appetite for remakes of old movies. So I'm just going to set that aside, put that complaint away, and evaluate this film as a standalone product. By that tenet, I think the movie's fast, it's well-made, it's engaging, and it's actually quite entertaining. I was actually particularly taken by the visuals and the art direction of this remake. And, you know, the film is getting some very tepid reviews, which I find a little surprising. Me personally, I found the movie a legitimate and reasonable piece of entertainment. It's no great shakes, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
Mm. Joe?
I find it really hard to talk about this movie without talking about the first movie, as we just said a minute ago. Really big fans of that. This remake business of Hollywood, I mean, we can talk about that a little later, but, you know, it's this whole concept of pre-sold franchises that, you know, this movie had buzz about it automatically just because it was Total Recall. I was really disappointed in the remake. I mean, I have to admit, there was some great production design. There was some nice sci-fi concept. You know, they had this, like, really cool trans-global elevator. I thought that was really good. But the movie itself just failed to have any of the fun of the original movie. especially Paul Verhoeven's direction of the original Total Recall was really about setting up this ambiguity. You never really knew what was reality. This movie kind of makes that decision for you. They've picked which way to go on that whole, you know, is it real, is it not real? And they present it to you, which is, this is to me one of the biggest opportunities in the Total Recall story. So even Philip K. Dick's short story had fun with that. So just for me, a real lost opportunity. Good to look at, but a little disappointing.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe, and Yassi, to add to the tepid reviews, I think here's a cold one. I mean, if you're going to remake a cult classic, you know, you have to bring it in droves, especially one that's so beloved like Total Recall. I'm really sad to say I was really disappointed with this movie. Total Recall should provide a total refund at the end of this film. I mean, honestly, I can only find a few good things to say about this movie. I mean, Colin Farrell, I thought he was good. I love the technology, but it was very Minority Report-esque for me.
It was Blade Runner-esque, actually, I thought. It was that kind of cyberpunk.
I mean, why was there no Mars? The whole reason for having Total Recall was Mars. We didn't have any Mars.
Get your ass to Mars. Sorry, that's my bad, Arnie.
Yeah, just didn't work. I mean, why? Why redo it?
So I think what distinguished Total Recall from any other 1980s movies was because it had this gonzo surreal sensibility, right? It was so peculiar and bizarre and unexplainable and trippy and almost like they were high when they were making the movie. And for some reason, like you said, Joe, they made a decision to somehow completely bypass that. And they have a very traditional action movie kind of take on it. So somebody somewhere made the decision that we're going to ground this completely in reality and do it. So I think I fully agree. It loses an opportunity. And I think right now, more than in the 80s, there is so much CGI at somebody's disposal. So if you want to get trippy about it, if you want to get crazy effed up, you could do it right now. And so it is absolutely a lost opportunity. But I think once that decision had been made to make it, you know, more traditional middle stream action movie, I think it was pretty well executed from that perspective, and that's why I liked it.
I couldn't understand, like, you make the decision to make a remake, but then you throw out so many of the things that were good about the original, which is okay if you then maybe draw upon the source of both, which is Philip K. Dick's short story. This didn't use Philip K. Dick's short story version. This was very much, in spirit, a remake of the 80s movie with Arnie. But then they threw out some stuff. I mean, they played, you know, so they paid some homage to it. You know, there was the three-boob lady, and there was, you know, a couple of the one-liners. The, you know, it wasn't considered that a divorce, but it was that kind of thing. They didn't have fun with it. And one of the things that really irritated me here was that there were so many long passages without dialogue. I mean, they tried to tell a lot of the story through action, but it was these long action set pieces which were frankly boring. They should have been exciting, but there was no excitement there because you didn't care as much for the characters.
Yeah, Joe, you've stolen the words right out of my mouth, so I'm not going to repeat them. I was going to say everything you said. This was so devoid of fun. I mean, besides the fact that there was too much action, so little story, not enough fun, I have a ton of questions about why was the world Asian? Recall is, you know, the country we're looking at is supposed to be the Federation of Britain or Australia. So why is the world so Asian?
Somebody had been to Tao.
I don't know. It's so weird to me. And then why did all the cops look like stormtroopers?
So I think the movie borrows heavily from those three movies. It borrows from Blade Runner, from the Minority Report, and the Star Wars prequel. So absolutely. I think the French bit, it had this French-Asian kind of Vietnamese art direction look, and I actually liked it. I mean, it's not inconceivable that sometime in the future, you know, everything becomes a melting pot and there is a big Asian influence. I liked it for the
unique... You're stretching it, Yazdeep. Okay.
I really like the visuals of the movie. I mean, it's hard to create this world from scratch. And yeah, it was very Asian-inspired, but I like that because it wasn't generic.
Go on. And I found...
I was going to say, been to Irvine lately?
Yeah, okay. But I mean, and Kate Beckinsale, I mean, the action sequences were good, but she was way too pouty like Keira Knightley for me.
Here's the one redeeming thing for the movie for me. Kate Beckinsale was amazing. Now, she was kind of an amalgam of two characters from the Arnie version. She was the Sharon Stone character and the Michael Ironside character. So she was both the wife and the pursuer. But she was fantastic in this. Not only did she look good, but she delivered on her lines, on all of her, like, I mean, for me... I don't know, maybe it was just because she looked sexy, but I thought she was brilliant in this.
Too moody and pouty. Jessica Biel was way better.
Maybe it's a guy thing. Yasdi, come on. Kick up the testosterone here.
No, absolutely. She was brilliant. And you know why she was brilliant? Because the movie's directed by her husband.
Oh. Right?
Yes, Len Wiseman has directed it, and it's her husband. And of course he's going to make sure his wife gets the best lines, the best action. He probably let her take 100 takes, you know, to just nail every single scene, right? And she looks great. I was a little bit annoyed by her hair, which was a little too perfect in the midst of all.
It was like a big
shampoo commercial. Like, her hair was just flopping all over the place.
What is wrong with you, Yazdi? I'm going to have to be the testosterone for this entire episode. Who looks at her hair?
She was great. I mean, I really think she was the one good thing. And I actually like Colin Farrell. I think Colin Farrell doesn't get his due in Hollywood. I mean, he's one of the better actors.
Oh, please.
No, but I feel bad
too
for him.
Too much hype.
Because, no, he was good in this, but the movie is so forgettable that he won't get any credit for it.
Yeah.
And why do they spell recall with a K? Sorry, more of my Y
Philip
questions.
Philip K. Dick.
Okay.
That was from the original.
Okay. Okay, let's wind this one up. Joe.
I can't help but draw comparisons to the original, which leaves me feeling disappointed. I can't review this movie on its own merits because the movie that spawned it was too precious to me. It's a 6 out of 10. It's an okay action flick, but the story and all of the fun of the original has completely evaporated. I wanted that mind fuck that we got in the original movie, and I didn't get it. So, 6 out of 10.
Yazdi.
Yeah, actually, we are not too far apart, Joe. I mean, I'll give you this. The overextended, literally overblown climax to the film gave me a major headache. I mean, towards the end, I was like, you know, please have this end. I mean, things have been blowing up for the last 20 minutes, you know, stop already. But even then, I really enjoyed what came before it. I actually thought the action scenes were very accomplished and alive and even invigorating. So, I like the look of the film in which it was set as well. So overall, I think Back of the Airplane, not a bad way to spend 2 hours. I give it 6.5 out of 10, and I'm actually going to bump it up to 7.
Not enough recall, not enough Mars, not enough story. I'm sure that this is one I will want to forget very quickly and not recall. 4 out of 10.
Oh, Rashmi, you're really aligned with most people. This movie has like 20 or 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is horribly unfair, but... You know, it is that it's. I think everyone feels disappointment. This story is full of opportunities.
I actually, frankly, wonder how many people who go to see this movie even know that it's a remake or are even familiar with the Arnold Schwarzenegger version.
Oh, it's such a classic. I mean, I don't know that anyone with interest in the sci-fi genre has not seen it. Why wouldn't you have? And it's not like it was a 40-year-old movie here. I mean, it was early 90s.
No, I think it was 80s.
Oh, really? Well, we're showing our age here, but anyway. All right. Well, let's move on to our second movie of the week, The Bourne Legacy. Yazdi, tell us all about The Bourne Legacy.
Okay, so the tagline on the official movie poster for Bourne Legacy says, "There was never just one." And so it is. This film, the fourth in the very popular and critically admired Bourne series, sets its sight on another CIA operative, Aaron Cross, this time played by Jeremy Renner, who, like Jason Bourne, played by Matt Damon in the first three films, finds the tables turned suddenly when it becomes apparent that the government wants him dead, even as he's working for the government. And they want him dead now. We are in the same world as the Bourne series. This film even starts with the familiar protagonist's body suspended in water. And it has many of the same characters. We have this crackerjack team of CIA agents with seemingly the world's best surveillance devices at their disposal, trying to eliminate our hero remotely, who proves repeatedly to be too clever for them, and he keeps the government and the bad guys at bay. This time, along for the ride is Dr. Martha Sherin, played by Rachel Weisz, who works at a top-secret research facility with altogether questionable motives. She soon finds herself on the run with the Aaron Cross character. This film is directed and co-written by Tony Gilroy, and it also stars Edward Norton, Scott Glenn, and David Stratton. What do you guys think of the fourth Bourne movie?
Exotic locations, check. Thrilling chase scenes in 100-degree heat that include at least 50 cars, bridges, and motorbikes, check. Abs of steel main man, check. Intelligent leading lady, check. Explosions, check. These seem to be all the ingredients for a 21st century action film, and this one had all of them. Bourne Again, I hear you ask? Oh, yes, and one that I really liked. Well, I didn't at the beginning, but then I did.
Joe?
I'm going to be horribly inconsistent here and criticize this movie for exactly the opposite reason that I criticized Total Recall. So that movie had these great big long action sequences and a lot of the story is advanced that way. This movie was so plotty that it ended up feeling really slow and tedious to me. And I was a big fan of the Bourne movies, the first three, the ones that were all directed by Paul Greengrass. They always seemed to get the blend of action and plot just right. Everything was so exciting. They always had these great, action set pieces that were The intelligence of Jason Bourne as a character always kind of came through as using his environment around him. But this movie was just plotty, slow, and I couldn't connect with it. And I love Jeremy Renner, I love Rachel Weisz, but they just seemed like they were bad actors in this. It was really frustrating to see the movie come together in the way that it did. And I think I'm in a minority here, by the way, so I totally accept that.
So I'm glad we're doing this along with Total Recall, because I think this movie suffers from the same issue. And, this is the kind of movie that I love to hate. I really have a problem with Hollywood not letting a franchise simply be, let them rest in peaceful slumber after a job well done. Why endlessly resurrect and reboot and rehash? And needless to say, I was not enthralled going into, with Hollywood's decision to do a fourth Bourne film without Jason Bourne. What's the point, really? Let's make a Harry Potter movie without Harry Potter. There's no end to this, So I really, really, this is a movie I love to hate. And I went in really wanting to hate it. And the nearly incomprehensible early part of the film did not do me any favors. But like you, Rashmi, against my will, slowly but surely, the film won me over. So kicking and screaming, I have to admit, this is now a movie that I hate to love. I do love it. I hate that I love it, but I switch from a movie that I love to hate to a movie that I hate to love.
So that's really interesting that you said that thing about going after the franchise. And initially I was thinking, why call it the Bourne? Why put Bourne in the title? Because really, it didn't necessarily have to be associated with it. But I think if you were to watch the film in its current form without Bourne in it, we would all be criticizing the movie and saying, why didn't they just call this Bourne Legacy? So for me, the Bourne bit did work, but I absolutely agree with you, Yazdi. The first 40 minutes were so difficult. I was thinking I need a PhD in film just to watch this. But I'm really glad that they don't let you out of the theater, because it got better and better for me.
Just to touch on the whole idea of Hollywood, we speak about this a fair amount, but I'm reading a great book on screenplay writing right now, Save the Cat, I think by Blake Snyder. And one of the things that they talk about in there is this concept of pre-sold franchises. These movies have fans. That's why they do it. And it's annoying, but it's just we're not going to see this go away. And anyway, so I just wanted to interject that before you made your other point.
No, I made my points.
Okay. So, I don't know. I just thought this was tedious and plotty. And unlike you guys, it didn't get better for me. In fact, it just kind of stayed at that slow boil. I never felt that there was anything really exciting going on here. And there were these big action set pieces, but they didn't have any of the tightness that Paul Greengrass and the excitement that he used to put into those movies. Because he really did a very sharp job of some of those. There are some classic action sequences. And pick any one of the Bourne movies. And there are these, the most recent one, the Bourne Ultimatum, where they, jump through that building to building and there's a camera swooping around. None of that was here. None of the excitement was there. And
so I disagree, Joe. I think what won me over was ultimately the plotting. I mean, so Tony Gilroy, who made this movie, he's a very accomplished director. He did Michael Clayton, and he likes to do intelligent action movies. And I think it's a very high level of difficulty. If somebody asks you to reboot, a franchise without the title character, I'm glad they go to somebody like him who knows how to do it. And of course, it's all very silly all this mumbo jumbo about Gohan.
Well, I was going to say, he did have a hand in writing the others. So it's not like he's new familiar to the franchise altogether.
Yeah. So he was familiar with it. But, there's all manner of mumbo-jumbo about chemically altered human behavior and blue pills and green pills and those annoying, typewritten wording that announces yet another international location, Karachi and Seoul and Manila. It's typewritten on the screen. So there's all that stuff. And, but that's what the Bourne movies have always been about. They've been about contrivances. They've been about international intrigue. It's been about triple and quadruple and whatever, six-time crossovers. And actually, what I thought was incomprehensible in the first 40 minutes of the movie, I've actually grown to appreciate, because the movie takes its time in laying out its foundation. You know, it's saying, here is point A, here is point Z, here is point P, Q, and then eventually they all come together. So as frustrated I was initially, I actually grew to admire how it was very well constructed.
Yeah, I'm with you, Yazdi. Absolutely. I agree with all the points that you've made. I mean, the only things I didn't like, Joe, I disagree with you. For me, there was enough tension and a great sense of like, what's going to happen next? I think the thing I didn't like was that big chase scene in Manila. It was just crazy. And I didn't like the introduction of the agent, which is more like Terminator 2 than a secret agent. I think the problem with this film compared to the other Bournes is that we never quite get to see what the agents do and why they're developed, because they're always being chased. And I think that part of the story would be very good.
Yeah, there's some of it in the early part of the movie, but not enough.
Yeah, we never really get to see why they're important. They're obviously important and someone's trying to kill them, but that's the movie.
And I do want to also refer to what you said, Joseph. I'm surprised you found nothing very compelling in terms of the set pieces in this movie. I actually thought this movie had some pretty good set pieces. There's one involving wolves very early on in the movie. There's another one involving a near hostage situation in a scientific laboratory where this man goes kind of postal. And then there's yet another one in the sprawling, decaying home of Rachel Weisz's character where there's this big ambush. So those actually are pretty memorable for me, and I appreciated the wit of those scenes, you know, which were very different from that very last scene in Manila, which seemed to have like about 100 cuts per minute. I mean, there was so much frenetic energy and there was, you know, all these cuts on top of each other. You didn't know where, who was going where, who was flying in what direction. And that kind of overstayed its welcome a little bit. So I think a little bit of brevity there towards the end would have been good, but it's a minor quibble.
And I also wanted to disagree with one other thing that Joe said, which was Rachel Weisz. I thought she was great in this, and wow. I love the chemistry. Love the chemistry between Renner and Weisz. I think it was great.
This is the worst I've seen Rachel Weisz in a long time. I love this actress. I think she's fabulous. Don't get me wrong. I couldn't buy any of her fear, her pseudo kind of, you know, fear of what was going to happen. None of it hung together for me, so...
It's because she married James Bond.
Oh, did she marry Daniel Craig?
Yes.
Thank you for the E! News interjection.
Sorry.
And in this movie, she's been protected.
Yeah, I bring People Magazine to Movie Wallahs. It's true.
And in this movie, she's been protected by, you know, the heir to Jason Bourne. Why should she be afraid?
Exactly.
It's all going to turn out well.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean that. Okay, let's wind this one up. Joe, you go first.
Yeah, I don't have much to say. I mean, it was okay. I didn't fall asleep, but I just thought it lacked any of the inventiveness of what I've come to love about the series. It lacked any of the excitement, and I think it really missed Matt Damon. That's not to say that Renner did a bad job here, but I just felt that he was underused. He's one of my favorite actors right now. I mean, I love Jeremy Renner, so to see him underutilized in this way just is a shame. I'm going to give this a 5 out of 10, and that's all I have to say.
Wow. Yazdi.
Yeah, talk about underutilized. I mean, poor Edward Norton is completely wasted.
Oh,
in a countless
God, yeah, I completely forgot he was in this.
What is in this movie? He should fire his agent. But anyway, I acknowledge, you know, all the silly, preposterous setups that are part of this franchise, but still concede, as much as it hurts me to do so, that this is a pretty good film. I still completely disagree with Hollywood's approach to, you know, rebooting this stuff. I don't care if it's a great marketing directive or whatever. From a business perspective, it makes sense, but I think it's just cheesy. But given what they were, I think they did a great job. I give it 7 out of 10.
I'm with you, Yazdi. You know, is this a reboot, remake, extension, elongation, progeny, or spin-off? It doesn't matter. It's a good film, and Renner and Weisz are magnetic on screen. Even if it does indulge itself a little too much on the power of pharmaceuticals and clinical trials, I really enjoyed this film, but don't watch this if you're sleepy. Born Again, yes, please. 7 out of 10.
You're both wrong, by the way. But that's okay. So,
I love that these are the kinds of movies where everybody can go in with the experience they have had, what they've seen before, and form their own opinions, and they'll all be different.
I'm surprised that Yazdi and I like this one and agree, and you don't. But there you go.
It was very reminiscent of Hannah at the beginning. Did anyone else notice that?
Not until you mention it, but now I see it.
Yeah, yes. I can see
kind
it.
Kind of scene in the woods and all that kind of stuff. The wolf set piece, but it was nowhere near as clever as that. And I think that therein lies my disappointment. I think, you know, I really miss Paul Greengrass, and I never thought I would say that. So anyway, let us know what you think. Mail at movieworldlers.com, twitter.com/movieworldlers. Follow us for announcements about podcasts, etc. and the like. Do check us out through the podcast app on iTunes, and we also have our Movie Wallers app, so don't forget about that. All free from the iTunes store. That's it for today. We've got a couple of other movies that we're looking forward to talking about in our next episode, so until then, too many movies, too little time. Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.